And you are listening to FOW Life here on the Fans of Wrestling Network. I am Patrick, your host, and with me, like always, Danny Danger. Danny, I feel like I can hear myself echo. How the heck are you?
I'm doing all right. Seasonal allergies have flared up again, but other than that, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful, as always, you know. I mean, we're on that road to WrestleMania, but lots of other fun stuff happening, of course. The New Japan Cup, unfortunately we lost Osprey to injury now.
Yeah, I'm just starting today's show, and that's what they were just going and talking about. Will Ospreay injured his shoulder in some capacity during his match with Mark Davis. So Mark Davis was the loser of that match, but it seems that Will Ospreay has nominated Mark Davis to take his spot as an alternate on behalf of the United Empire. Yeah. So it seems that the quarter
spot.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. So that it's a quarterfinal spot against Evil. So I was when I first saw that at the end of the match and Will was talking about his shoulder being hurt and stuff, I was like, oh man, I wonder, like, is Evil just going to get a bye into the semifinals? But apparently that's not the case. They're letting them sub in a faction member as an alternate, and Mark Davis is going to try to exact some pain and revenge against the House of Torture, on behalf of Ospreay as well as himself. I mean, it should be an interesting match. You looked at Ospreay and he definitely seemed like he was destined for the finals, but obviously not the case now.
Yeah, I mean, we thought, right, he's possibly one of the ones that was going to make it, but yeah, he did not, due to injury. That's what happens, but yeah, so far, I mean, we've gone through the first two rounds of the New Japan Cup. Any matches specifically that stand out to you so far? You can remember for the first two, first round, and when you watched it the second round.
Yeah, I really liked Tai Chi and Sonata. I'm not a big Sonata fan, but I liked that Tai Chi, kind of dug into Sonata and kind of brought kind of a meaner edge out of Sonata, because Sonata's just kind of been coasting a lot, for a long time. He's kind of been losing a lot of matches. He hasn't really been doing much. So Tai Chi kind of woke him up, and Sonata even breaking out kind of a new finishing hold. So that was interesting. It was a good match. Yet again, I would have preferred Tai Chi to win, but Sonata gets the win there. Let me see. I was a little surprised with Hanare defeating Shingo in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Shingo being a former heavyweight champion, a little surprised by that, but once again, a very hard hitting, heavy match. And Hanare just looking better and better, as far as moving into somebody who could possibly be a champion someday.
Right. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of fun matches now, though, looking at the semifinals. Eight really fun matches. Anybody, if you could predict from those eight, or 10 or 12, I can't remember where you're at right now.
Yeah, I'm on today's show, so they haven't solidified the last two quarterfinal matches yet. I think you have to go with Zack Sabre Jr. as last year's winner. It's definitely somebody to make it far into the tournament. You know, I think Hirooki Goto was looking very good in his matches. You know, possibly, you know, finding himself deeper into the tournament as well. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of seeing that it could be Ospreay versus Sabre, but that's not the case. Now I think we could be seeing Zack Sabre Jr. possibly versus Evil in the finals. Be my possible guess for the finals.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't spoil it for you. But yeah, I definitely like your choices. They're really good, solid picks. Of course, I believe it's been announced that the winner of the New Japan Cup will be facing off the champion, I think, at Genesis.
I think Sakura Genesis is usually the place they usually do the New Japan Cup winner. So yeah, New Japan Cup winner will, you know, fight against Okada at Sakura Genesis.
Is you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, good. Yeah, definitely two good choices there. Whoever wins against Okada Genesis should be a fun match. We'll see if it's going to be a rematch for Okada, or if it's just going to be, a brand new match. So
yeah, somebody he hasn't fought and defended a championship against. I mean, he's been wrestling, for over 10 years as kind of a top level guy. So he's, if not, even in the G1s, I think he's fought most people on the roster at this point. But there probably are some that he's not fought yet in a one-on-one contest.
No. So with that being said, though, we got the New Japan AEW relationship continues to fortify, because we saw Juice Robinson still, with the Bullet Club merch.
Okay. So, well, that's interesting because at the ROH pay per view, he was not sporting the Bullet Club stuff at all. He was in trunks when he fought Samoa Joe for the TNT title. Or the ROH TV title, I think it was at the time. He was just in regular, trunks, which is the first time I've ever seen him in trunks. Usually he wears the three-quarter pants, and then when he joined Bullet Club, he started wearing the full tights. I like that version of Juice better, definitely. Has more of aggressive edge, more personality, I feel like. As Rock Hard, Juice Robinson, part of Bullet Club. So it's interesting that he's coming back that way.
And with that, with him still being Bullet Club, because I guess we're just Bullet Club for life.
Yeah,
The announcement officially, we get the Forbidden Door Part 2.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to get that this summer, and it's going to be not in Chicago this time. It's going to be in Toronto, I believe, in Canada. Right?
Oh, okay. Internacional. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be part of a 6-show tour in Canada.
Okay.
And, yeah. Very interesting, but the 6-show being the Forbidden Door here. Last year's event, of course, had a lot of great matches.
Yeah.
So, a lot of.
We'll see.
Expect to be similar this time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And one thing that I do expect, pop this year to be more featured is the Stardom connection with Bushiroad, now that New Japan has, and Stardom have started working together, a lot more closely. I think hopefully we should see some Stardom talent
featured in this event as well. So we can see some of Stardom's best against some of, you know, the best in the AEW women's division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, speaking of the AEW women's division, announced tonight is that the Wera Loca, Taya Valkyrie, is now All Elite.
Yes, I was a little surprised by that because I thought she was still part of a faction in Impact. So I didn't know if this was like a Forbidden Door type thing and her kind of coming over for a little bit, or if she was done with Impact and moving fully to AEW. So I was a little surprised by that, yeah. I'd heard rumor that she might show up, but I was kind of confused, like, really? I thought she was with Impact, but I don't know. I don't know contract status exactly.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, come and go from, you know, in Impact. So unless they announced, hey, we're going to be, I'm exclusive, then they usually don't. You know, I'm assuming they're free agents, as they say otherwise, when they come to Impact. I guess Johnny Elite is to follow at some point. I mean, we already see him make his debut there. But, you know, no contract per se for Johnny.
I guess not right now. I don't know.
So how do you think? Well, not necessarily her. I mean him, because he's not there. But how do you think the Ty is gonna do now that she's gonna be part of All Elite, based on what we've seen?
I mean, it seems that they're setting up, you know, between her and Jade, you know, being they're both powerful bodybuilder type physiques, you know, so I don't know if she's going to be the one to beat Jade, because you know same thing with any division in AEW, it's consistency and long term. They bring people into great fanfare, and then it's how do you keep that momentum going past a couple matches, and that seems to be the struggling point for the men and women. So hopefully she doesn't, you know, get her one title shot, lose the match, do the Jericho podcast, and then spend 6 months on Dark. You know, so hopefully they have bigger plans and more plans for her. But, you know, yet again, we have to see how things go.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's no question the shows are stacked, right? There's no question.
Yeah, the rosters are just it's just so full.
Now the bigger problem is that how do you make it, you know, mean something?
Yeah, how do you utilize everybody effectively? And then still bring in a bunch of job people because you don't want your people taking losses on television.
Right. And now I'm hearing that the AEW some talks for a third show.
Of course, why not?
I mean,
do you know what network this would be on? Or
I have no clue. I haven't gotten anything, but a third show. I mean, they already have what, two YouTube shows?
Yeah.
And two shows on cable TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And their ROH, which airs just on Honor Club.
And of course, they have the reality show.
Oh, yeah, coming soon, yeah.
Which, it'll be interesting how, you know, how that comes about. Do you think that would be any different from what we've seen with Total Divas?
I mean, it's a quote-unquote behind-the-scenes life on the road with wrestlers show. I mean, it all comes down to how they edit and how they present it. You know, Total Divas, it was very much, you know, kind of cattiness between them and backstabbing and trash talking, you know, their friends and all this kind of stuff. It, you know, I mean, it was successful, but that's kind of what the show was. So hopefully they do more than just than that for this show, but I don't know.
Yeah. That will definitely be the interesting part. So I think, you know, it's reality TV, which means somewhat scripted, right? I mean, they could go the scripted route, or they could go the documentary route.
Well, yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, the thing with reality TV is whether it's scripted or not, they can edit however they want. You know, if they take a week's... Pardon me. If they take a whole week's worth of footage, you know, multiple hours from multiple camera angles, and they edit it down to, you know, a small segment, they can kind of make it look and fit whatever narrative they want. You know? I mean, if somebody videotapes your entire week and shortens it down to 20 or 30 minutes, they can make you look like a superhero, or they can make you look like the biggest villain or the biggest, you know, waste of a person. You know, if they only show footage of you like sitting on the couch at the end of the day with potato chips on your chest, like, then everybody's going to think that that's what you are 24/7, when that was really only a few minutes of your entire week. So it's presentation and narrative in reality television is the big thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they're going to do that, or if, yeah, they're just going to be kind of straightforward, more documentary style. I don't know. I think the AEW fans and wrestling fans in general are probably hoping more for a documentary type series rather than, you know, a quote unquote, you know, reality television program, you know, quote unquote, non-scripted or loosely scripted or whatever terminology they're using now. I can't remember. Unscripted, whatever they want to call it. So I, you know, I mean, cause the biggest thing that Total Divas did is Total Divas wasn't really for wrestling fans. It was to try and get reality television fans to watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to an extent it worked, you know, they definitely kind of boosted the audience, at least in some areas, thanks to that show. Whether those people are like still watching today and buying tons of merch and all that, I don't know. But it depends. Yeah, are they going to make it for the wrestling fan? Or are they going to look to make it for the non-wrestling fan?
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part. With, you know, really with any type of show that you put out there, it's going to attract somebody.
Well, I mean, you hope.
Yeah.
I hope it attracts somebody.
Obviously, we'll see a lot of, I think that the AEW crowds will definitely watch it. But, you know, it'll, yeah, again, presentation is key. I mean, I could see they go either way. But I don't know. I don't know. I guess only time will tell. And like you said, you know, at the end of the day, they will choose what narrative they want to show.
Yeah.
Regardless of what actually happens.
Yeah, 100%.
To come back themselves, which is the beauty of that type of television.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you can have whatever you please to show. So.
All right, so what else is going on in the Wacky World of Wrestling this week?
We're
Forbidden Door 2 announced for Canada.
So
and we're still on the road to... Oh, yes, and Delivers matches announced, some of them announced pre, already. That's true.
Yeah, Pretty Deadly is going to be hosting Stand okay. Deliver.
So no Wesley title shot for them. They just get to host the show.
Right. Wesley will be defending his North American Championship in a five-way match, fatal five-way match. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn will be challenging for the NXT Tag Team titles.
Okay.
Yep, the women's title will be in a ladder match.
Yeah, I did see that. So I was actually kind of very confused by what happened with Roxanne Perez. You know, first I thought it was just kind of a gimmick thing to show, you know, like she kind of barely survived Satomura. But then they're doing the whole thing of taking the belt from her. But at first I was like, well, I still don't know if she's really injured. But at the same time, like, if they knew she was going to take time off ahead of time, why would you do this whole stripper and do a ladder match? Why wouldn't you just have her drop the belt to Mako? So that's, you know, so I still don't know. I mean, they're being very vague about the type of injury that it is. So I really don't know what's going on. Whether it's a writer off TV or it's a legitimate kind of thing. But the ladder match scenario, you know, is gonna work great for the crowd there. You know, kind of the return of the WrestleMania, you know, weekend multi-person ladder match like they used to do Money in the Bank many, many years ago. You know, before it was its own event, standalone event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about this? I mean, we've been talking, we made our predictions for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so far, we're 1-1. Announced originally Rey Mysterio Jr.
Yeah.
And today it's been confirmed that we get the Grey Muta as the second inductee.
Yeah.
Into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a, you know, strong class. I mean, to me, it's always kind of strange when you induct a currently active member into a Hall of Fame because, in theory, their career is not over. They possibly still have more accolades to acquire. You know, so that's always kind of a weird thing to me. You know, they definitely don't do that in other sports. They wait many, many years after you have officially, you know, stopped competing, stopped playing, you know, stopped participating before they induct you. You know, I mean, the Great Muta retired, you know, this year, you know, possibly for the last time. We're still not sure. A little surprised with who will be inducting the Great Muta is Ric Flair. I don't understand. I really don't understand the connection that much between that. You would think Nakamura would be a very good choice, as Nakamura just faced the Great Muta in the Great Muta's last singles match.
Well, they do have a relationship going back to the NWA days.
Well, yeah, no, I get that, but like they weren't a long storied feud and rivalry. You know, maybe they shared the ring a handful of times, but it's not like they fought off and on for many, many years or anything like that. It was kind of his, you know, that first run of the Great Muta in 1989 and 90. You know, he shared the ring with Flair a couple times, and that was kind of it.
Right, but we don't know what type of friendship grew out of that. What type of relationship, right?
Probably not much. Flair's a piece of shit, so probably not much. You know, but WWE wants to put Flair on TV again. Fuck it.
I mean, no offense, but who's going to tell the better story, you know, on the Friday night? I think you need a storyteller, somebody who, like Flair, who'll be able to just, you know, go crazy and say, well, some wacky stuff.
All he's gonna do is say his catchphrase and shout "woo" a bunch of times.
Excuse me. Now
he's gonna make it all about himself instead of about the Great Muta because he's a asshole.
Conan will be inducting Rey Mysterio. I think You can't disagree with that choice.
No.
If it wasn't for Conan, we might never have gotten a Rey Mysterio.
Well, I mean, and I, you know, Conan is he has never had a Hall of Fame level in ring career, but his contributions to the sport of professional wrestling in the United States can never be undersold. You know, I think he is largely responsible for Lucha Libre becoming more, you know, the style and the culture of Lucha Libre being much more prevalent in the United States. You know, he was instrumental in helping bring a lot of the luchadors to WCW, which was, you know, which became kind of one of their signature pieces, was these luchador multi-man matches, you know, the 4-on-4s and the 3-on-3s and all these cruiserweight title matches and stuff that dominated, you know, the Monday Night Wars era. You know, the, even to this day, that's one of the things that a lot of fans still remember very fondly about WCW in that time period was, you know, was the cruiserweights, the luchadors. And, you know, continuing on, you know, he helped orchestrate and bring together, you know, what would eventually become so many other Lucha Libre wrestlers into the United States and, you know, was an integral part of the Lucha Underground TV series, you know, and he still works, you know, with promotions and stuff in Mexico to help bring, you know, luchadors to the United States and American wrestlers down there and vice versa. So, you know, I think his handprint and stamp on the culture of professional wrestling is much wider than what he just did on the screen. You know, I think more people would remember him kind of more for his managerial type stuff. Conan with the NWO and the Wolfpack, you know, he was kind of the spokesman as much as he was anything else, right, you know? Right. And then similarly with, in TNA with the original incarnation of LAX, you know, he was the guy who was saying the stuff that was stirring the shit pot that was driving the people crazy. You know, I think those are the things people are going to more remember him for in front of the camera than his actual in-ring career.
Yeah, absolutely. Conan definitely, I think Conan will eventually get his own spot in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't deserve it. But I think, yeah, for this, for what he's done, and for the relationship with Rey Mysterio, I think definitely a good choice there. He got it approved to you. That's cool. So, do you think Rey Mysterio is big enough to be the headliner for WrestleMania, or do we still wait for somebody like a Batista to be announced?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that everything's already, you know, contracts are already signed and everything, and people are just being quiet. Or they're still trying to lock down a couple deals. And so Rey Mysterio could be the headliner if other deals fall through. I don't really know. I mean, I would think that he could be a headliner by himself, especially in L.A., you know, being so close to his, you know, being only a few hours from his hometown and in a great, you know, very high Latino population area. I would think that he could headline. But they may try to go for somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of variables, right? Think about it. If you bring Batista, who's he going to want to be inducted by? I really feel like he's going to ask Triple H to induct him.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not bringing the... We're not bringing Devon Dudley back here to Brother D on to
DJ Batista.
It'll be interesting to see. He was supposed to be in it last year. He has to hold off. Or 2 years ago, I can't remember. Which one was the one that he asked to be off? Interested with the Hall of Fame, because I had to see who's next. But as far as what's next in the news, Nikki and Brie, Bellas no more. Bring back the Garcias.
Don't give a shit. If they want to quote unquote leave wrestling behind, good riddance. We, you know, couldn't happen sooner, I guess. I mean, we would have much rather it happened 15, 20 years ago, but you know, whatever.
I missed out on total.
Total Divas,
and Total Bellas.
Yeah. Yep. All those wonderful Total Divas versus non-Total Divas, you know, 5-on-5 tag matches were absolutely, you know, skippable in all capacities. And then they would have like, hey, on this week's episode of Total Divas, we had a tiff, so now we're going to have a match right now, even though this was taped, you know, 6 months ago. We're going to have a match about it now. Like, fuck all that shit.
All right. Next time, what do I have here for you? Bray Wyatt. He was scheduled to be facing off Bobby Lashley. Now they say that he's out of WrestleMania for personal reasons. Nobody's seen him. Do you think there's any legitimacy about Bray Wyatt? I don't know if you heard any rumors about, you know.
I have not heard any of the rumors about this, no.
Yeah, people say it's personal reasons. People say it's creative. You know, people have even said, hey, Vince is back and, you know, so.
He doesn't like the Bray Wyatt character or whatever.
Yeah, well, at least the new incarnation of it, right? I mean, think about what we had the first few times that Bray Wyatt came back. Since he came back, you know, it was him trying to do these promos that made no sense. At least he wasn't screaming them. But yeah, we go from that to, you know, just this randomness where like skits coming back on and Uncle Howdy, and you get the rest of the clan.
Yeah, all the other weird animals and stuff.
Yeah, which to a lot of people it smells like Vince McMahon is back, but nobody claims no, he isn't. So, what say you? What do you make of not having Bray Wyatt here on the show, especially if? If it's true, it's because people are not tired again of this character, or they really have personal reasons for leaving.
I don't know. I mean, I think it could be, you know, the character's having a little difficulty connecting to people. I could see that. It is a little more obscure, I guess. Not as broad and flashy as like The Fiend and, you know, the original Wyatt family and that kind of thing. I can see where maybe they're not, it's not really connecting with some people, or, you know, people in management, I guess, the ones who write the paychecks, so to speak. I could see that as a logical possibility.
Yeah. Another rumor for WrestleMania is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Apparently, he liked it so much that he may want to try again another nice payday as a WrestleMania headliner. This time, either way, against LA Knight.
Yeah, apparently he wants to fight Los Angeles in Los Angeles. I mean, I think he probably sees that. You know, they could have, you know, some silly in-ring verbal exchanges, what versus yeah, and those kind of things. You know, and it's not as though Eli, you know, LA Knight works a very taxing style. You know, he's very kind of simplistic type wrestler, so a match wouldn't be crazy, you know, hard on Steve's body. But I don't, yeah. A little surprised by him picking that. You know, I heard that they were going to give him, you know, the top slot again and, you know, offer him Roman and these kind of things. And he was like, eh, that's not for me. Let me, you know, do something with somebody, you know, who needs the rub, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That definitely, we should see how that comes about. As far as, you know, WrestleMania match. I mean, it sounded like they couldn't choose which women's match would close out one of the nights. Night one, most likely. Now they're talking neither men close. You know, with the women. Another rumor out there is that the closing match for night one could be Sami Zayn's tag team title match with Owens against the Usos, being that Sami has popularity has blown up. I mean, in LA here, I mean, and we all know how much the women deserve all the praise and the attention as the guys, but now having, you know, thinking about bumping with the women's matches.
Well, they were
for one night.
The rumored women's match for night one was going to be Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, which to me does not have the build and the, you know, and the heat and stuff of the other matches. Yes, there's a longer form story there, you know, of Charlotte winning, you know, the Rumble and then coming after Rhea in NXT and beating her, you know, so there is like a longer form story there, but I don't think people are really clamoring for the match now. That was the rumor that would be the number one match. So if they're not going to put that as the headliner, that I'm fine with that, you know. You don't necessarily, if the match isn't getting the attention, getting the build, getting the crowd as excited as it should be, then it shouldn't be the headliner just to say that we made a women's match the headliner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which match did you just finish watching?
I'm still on the entry tags.
Oh, okay.
Just four guys versus House of Torture.
I'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just yeah, I mean,
four guys.
Yeah. We can see the women's, yeah, actually, there's some stories, but not all fleshed out.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best time to work. But, you know, people always are talking about fair chances to give the women's a chance, you know, like the men. So you're going to have those people who are gonna have a problem with it, but it's whatever. Like whatever they think are gonna be the best matches for both nights to have the crowd go home happy. You know, that's so all that matters in the end. Which, speaking of the end, getting closer to the end of his contract is one. Kenny Omega. Now, Kenny Omega's saying a lot of nice things, a lot of open-ended things when it comes to both WWE and AEW.
He knows how to talk the talk to keep people interested, keep the rumors circulating, keep the speculation growing.
Do you see Kenny Omega as a WWE wrestler now?
No. I do not. His style of wrestling is not the WWE style. And that's the style that I think he's going to want to wrestle. I think the fans are going to want to see him wrestle. you know, WWE is very much more story and, you know, situational and talking and building. And to me, those are the areas that Kenny Omega's weak in. You know, all of his great best matches and all this are like 30, 40 plus minute matches. He's not going to get to do those in WWE. You know, nobody ever sits here and sings the praises of 12 and 15 minute matches that Kenny had. And that's what he's going to get on pay-per-view if he goes to WWE. He's going to get shorter times. He's going to have to do a lot more talking. You notice when they wanted him to get heat, they had to bring in somebody else to do his talking for him. You know, or at least the majority of the talking had to bring in somebody like Callis. So, you know, I think they probably would want him as like a coup just to try and drag some fans over to see him and stop, you know, AEW from using him. But I don't know if he would be happy there.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately that's what matters, what he wants, whether he's going to be happy, where he's going to want to make the money.
Right.
And I think he probably wants to, you know, maybe enjoy free agent a little bit, bounce around, but, you know, go back to Japan a little more and do more with, you know, New Japan, maybe do some more with DDT, you know, somewhere he got his start. Now that he's a much bigger star than he ever was when he was with DDT, if he goes back there, it could do a lot of huge things, you know, bring a lot of extra eyes to that promotion. So that could be kind of a way to where he could kind of, you know, use what he has now to help the people that helped him. And then also get to do a lot more, you know, creative things in DDT than he would elsewhere. You know, whether he wants to do comedy, whether he wants to do long form matches, whatever he wants to do, I think DDT would be more than happy to abide by.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, free agent Kenny Omega could probably call his shots anywhere and do what he wants. Yeah, definitely the restrictions are they really, you know, this is the reason why people go through the Performance Center to get retrained and relearn some of the basics. I don't see him doing that jump. And who would want to give up a vice presidentship? Vice, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah. I hope it includes a bigger paycheck. But I don't exactly know what their what exactly the duties entail, and we've never been really given that explanation before.
I mean, especially because we know Tony doesn't share in his role.
From everything that we've heard, he wants to do this and he wants to do this and he wants to pretty much have, you know, have his hands in every single pot at the same time.
Yeah. So you didn't even think, I mean, I agree with you, but you don't even think, though, not even Kenny seeing Cody flourish in the WWE and seeing how guys like AJ Styles can come out and do some great stuff.
Well, the thing is, Cody and AJ have spent more time up and down the card, you know, than I think Kenny's used to the last several years. You know, and I think, you know, Cody's, you know, in WWE, he pretty much, you know, went up and down tag teams and, you know, lower singles titles and, you know, and then when he was on the indie scene, he was doing some longer form matches and everything. But I think Kenny's pretty much, you know, yes, he does tag stuff, but, you know, like I said, most of what fans praise him for are those long form, you know, 45 plus minute, you know, 7-star type matches or whatever. That's not what he's going to be able to do in WWE. You know, I mean, they would, I assume they're going to make, they would probably make an offer to him, but I don't think it's going to be where he would be a best fit.
Why not? We all hate evil. We all love Dumpzilla. How awesome would it be to go to the So, you think Jay Lethal has a better chance of being WWE bound or could be more successful in WWE than...
Jay Lethal?
Definitely Jay Lethal. I'm sorry. Jay White. I got my J's confused.
Gotcha. I think White does, yeah, because to me, you know, White can have exciting matches up and down, you know, 10-minute matches as well as 45-minute matches, and White's much more compelling speaker and character, and, you know, he's better at kind of stirring the pot and getting you interested and excited about what his next move is. Kenny is pretty much the dream match type wrestler, you know? People see him announced against a certain wrestler, they get excited about that. There doesn't need to be any build because it's not going to do much more than that initial announcement of a match. And then when the match happens. But that's not how WWE structure works. You know, they don't announce a match and then 3 weeks in 3 weeks later these guys just fight and have a really crazy match. That's not WWE style.
Right. Yeah, I definitely see that also. I mean, as much as I want to see Kenny in the WWE to fulfill my dream, my personal dream goal, I definitely do think that he's not gonna give up what he's got. But Jay White though, I think he's ready to come in and be the player. That really needs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it. So yeah. I mean, man, it's a lot of fun to speculate. Of course, I can only imagine like what is gonna happen on Monday Night Raw, the Monday after Mania. You know, we may get the you know one of the best ones in a while, right?
Yeah,
the views returns. Right now, it could be anybody's game. As far as what they could do, who they want to keep bringing in, but yeah, I can't wait to see also who the rest of the Hall of Fame inductees are. This crazy road to WrestleMania is just it's wild. It feels awfully long.
It's always long, yeah. They stretch it out. Yeah, they always stretch it out as much as they can.
You know, we still got a few matches left to book here. I think the Mysterio matches, you basically can count out when it's done. I mean, the fact that, you know, they're hinting at it. I mean, at what point, how close to WrestleMania, we were 2 weeks away, does... Does Ray accept the challenge to wrestle his son? He can only say no so many times. What will Dominic Mysterio do to force his father to fight him at WrestleMania?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he would, you know, opt to give up the Mysterio name or something, you know. Or they go mask. I still think mask versus hair would be, you know, a big thing. You know, Dom's been trying to grow out his hair, you know, in that kind of Eddie Guerrero style mullet. And I think that would be that's probably something that irritates the hell out of Ray, you know, with Dom still trying to play up the "you're not my real dad" kind of shit. So I could see, I think that would be the exciting way to go. Hair versus mask, you know. You know, give it, it's in LA, you know, like I said, you know, very high Latino population. Lucha Libre culture is very big there as well. So I think a hair versus mask match would get the crowd really going.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one match I'm very disinterested in, and after seeing the encounter on Monday Night Raw, is a match I'm really not looking forward to. Brock Lesnar versus Omos.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those matches that, you know, you try to get
you try to use to get the casuals, because you say these guys are enormous. They're, you know, blah, blah, they're huge, and they just, you know, throw people around or whatever, whatever. But, yeah, realistically, it's not – I don't think the match is going to live up to whatever hype they try to give to it, with the fans at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not blowing my mind.
No, because we haven't really seen Omos, you know, do much in his professional wrestling career is kind of the thing, you know?
Unfortunately, I don't feel like he really can do much.
Well, I mean, that could be part of it. Just with his size, you know, he probably has limits. He definitely probably has limited athleticism.
Which kind of sucks, because it's part of the gimmick is that he's so big.
Yeah.
I
mean, they pushed Great Khali doing that for years, you know, and he was horrible in the ring. I mean, the guy had trouble just walking from one side of the ring to the other, you know, because his body was in such bad shape.
Yeah.
But didn't stop him from pushing it.
Sure did not. Well, not much else has been happening. We kind of pretty much covered all the things I had. I thought we were going to, you know, it'd be a longer conversation, but it looks like, I mean, it's going to happen with the road to WrestleMania. We're going to have some shorter ones here, just covering the things in between. But, you know, we're going to be looking at the car more in depth in a couple of weeks as, you know, we're just two and a half weeks away from WrestleMania.
But at the same time, there's still a whole lot to kind of fill out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we are only 2.5 weeks, but I feel like there's, you know, a lot that still needs to be kind of set in stone, you know?
Yeah. So this is some of our favorite part of the year. We can speculate all about everything. I mean, they're trying to outdo Dallas here. If LA wants to be the one that breaks record, the most people in attendance. I mean, I think they definitely have that opportunity, and they got the show already so stacked. Imagine the last remaining tickets could definitely go out if something massive is announced. I mean, I don't know what it could be, but yeah, so much they could do from here out. I'm excited. I mean, listen. The Rock still changed his mind and be ready to wrestle WrestleMania in 2.5 weeks. So
I mean, yeah.
Never say never, as Justin Bieber has taught us.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
There we go. That too. Can you just imagine? But I don't know about you. I think, I mean, they can go all the way out this year to try to sell out, you know, the place is called in L.A. I mean, next year, the 40th WrestleMania, that's a big landmark of an event in the city of brotherly love. So we'll see what they do. But, yeah, that's all for tonight. So pumped for WrestleMania and everything else is gonna be going on. But of course, we still have two more rounds of the New Japan Cup, a lot more wrestling to cover. This is one of my favorite seasons of the year, WrestleMania season. So fans, keep listening. We're on every Tuesday or Wednesday sometimes. Gotta keep it. Figure out a specific schedule.
We gotta mix it up. Keep y'all on your toes.
Yeah, that's right. Follow us on anywhere you listen to podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify. Always forget about Spotify, Amazon Music, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio Days, on Twitter at Danny F and Danger. Mika and Eric and I here with it on Twitter also at Mika Villas at EG23X. I'm on Twitter at YoungManPA. Danny, I hope that those allergies get better. I mean, the pollen sucks, but hey, winter's here and the flowers are blooming. So, yeah. So and be well, my friend. Thank you. Until next time, keep watching wrestling.